Good evening. This is Jim Schveda. No, we're just joking. This is the talking show on K-Chung Radio, Chinatown's only...
Only...
micro-broadcasting radio solution. I'm Nicholas Miller, here, as always, with the inimitable Steve Cato.
That's right. It is I, Steve Cato, not to be imitated.
Correct. So, Steve, why don't you tell the good listeners out there, half of the talking show went to a press opening today.
Oh, dear, yeah. This will be incredible to believe, because even though we are so well unionized and so well paid for doing the talking show, on the side, I work as an arts journalist.
No.
It's incredible to believe. And I went to the Broad Museum opening today. And I have to say, they have a beautiful public convenience. It's free to enter the Broad, and the restrooms are fantastic.
Do the restrooms cost money?
They're free, and they have a sort of a rounded tile pattern that reminds me a lot of an amazing subway station in Toronto. If any of our listeners are going to go to Toronto, you can go to DuPont Station and see a restroom that will blow your face off.
Hmm. Have you seen the Monica Bombonini toilet in London?
No, tell me about this.
Oh, she has this great piece in London somewhere. I've only seen pictures.
Say her name again?
Monica Bombonini.
Bombonini?
Yeah. She's, I think, raised in Italy, but studied at CalArts with Michael Asher.
Oh, wow.
And lives between...
Her and all of us.
L.A. and Berlin or something.
Sure.
But the piece in London is, from a distance, it looks like a Dan Graham pavilion. It's like this kind of mirrored cube, but it's really just two-way glass.
Oh, great.
And so you sit, and there's just a single toilet. So you sit in the middle of this extremely busy intersection in London, taking a shit.
I've heard about this.
You can watch everything going around. And it's called, like... Don't miss a second or something like that.
Huh. Well, this is not that kind of upsetting phenomenal. This is like a nice dark cave you can poo in.
Oh, lovely.
With rounded corners. Otherwise, I think the collection at the Broad is kind of what one would expect. Like, he basically seems to have pulled all his work from LACMA.
Yeah.
So if you had gone to LACMA, to the Broad Pavilion in the last 3 years, you would have seen a bunch of work on the third and second floors of LACMA. All that work is now in the Broad.
Okay. So Michael and Bubbles.
The Big Coons hits. Yeah. Some great Baldessaris.
What about the elevator at the Broad Pavilion?
So far as I know, intact. I think that's not changeable. The elevator at the Broad Museum does not have a Barbara Kruger in it.
Bummer.
But like, there's some pretty amazing Barbara Krugers at the Broad, you know, that he took out of LACMA and put into his museum.
Sure.
And there's some pretty amazing Jenny Holzers. There's a weird Joseph Boys. There's some I think they're kind of rare, actually really quite rare, Glenn Ligons that are not Glenn Ligon. You know, like there's the standard Glenn Ligon, which is like the silkscreen over and over and over itself.
Right.
And there's everything else Glenn Ligon does. And everything Glenn Ligon does that isn't the silkscreen over itself is both hilarious and pretty amazing. Like, he has a series of 8.5 by 11 sheets of paper where they're essentially descriptions of escaped slaves, but each of them is a description of himself, the slave Glenn, who is like described as being like pretty hunky. Like, the term hunky is used in at least, I think, half, you know, sort of hunky.
Wow.
You know, like, and descriptions of what he's wearing, which are, like, you know, very reasonable. You know, like, if one were to describe what either of us were wearing, kind of
sure.
thing, you know, like...
Normal dude stuff.
Yeah, you know, sort of like a J. Crew check shirt and, you know, blah, blah, blah. You know, like, that kind of thing. So these are the descriptions of these escaped slaves. But it's, like... So it's, like, very fraught and complex politically, but at the same time, like, this deft, light touch that, like, I think those other Glenn Ligons really don't have. Which are so punishing and so sort of one-dimensional.
Right.
So
they,
it's like
they hit you over the head with it.
Really hard. Whereas I feel like, you know, so it's like... And also, weirdly, he had some good Archfagers.
Yeah, I was going to ask about that because does he only own paintings?
No, I mean, Archfager's a sculptor.
No, I know him mostly as a sculptor, but I looked at the Broad book about a few hours ago.
Oh, where did you see this monstrosity?
Remember our Danish friend who helped the other guy thaw out last weekend?
Yeah,
he had that giant book.
Yeah, I saw him there.
Yeah, and he I was looking through it, and the Archfager section only had paintings and drawings, which I thought was kind of bizarre.
No, because in the show at the moment, the Archfagers are entirely sculptures.
I didn't even know he made paintings and drawings until I saw the catalog.
I think the disappointing thing about most artists of a certain career level is that they mostly make paintings and drawings secretly.
Yeah.
Like, you're like, oh, that guy's a good sculptor, and you're like, actually, though, like, he's been passing a drawing to Broad every year as part of his daily annual income.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's like, It was a very harsh wake-up call to realize that the people I had associated as being sculptors or performance artists or any of these other sort of like less painting-y, less straightforward in their economic body.
They always had some flat work floating around.
They have some sort of drawing. At least a collage.
Yeah, well, what are you going to do?
I mean, I didn't, you know, I just live here.
and talk here. You talk here too. But anyhow.
Well, sorry, just to interrupt. A physiologically unique thing about me is that if I do not talk, I will actually be unable to breathe.
Oh, you make so much more sense now.
Yeah, like a shark. I actually.
You have to talk to keep breathing.
Yeah. So it's not.
What about eating? How does eating work physiologically?
Very hard. That's why I prefer to use Soylent.
I understand. All of these peculiarities of your personality are making perfect sense now.
Yeah. Chewing is hard because it means a break from talking, and that right. means like not.
So you basically
breathing.
Have to hold your breath while you eat.
Entirely, it's very uncomfortable.
Oh my goodness! What a rough life.
Yeah, and you know, I mean, lots of people form very deep associations around food.
Yeah.
You know, like it's like a reward or a pleasure or things like that. And I have only ever construed it as sort of an interruption to my ability to talk
and
breathe.
Well, a threat to your bare life.
Saying.
Huh. Well, speaking of people who feel threatened and are struggling to get by and also
actually of bare life. Let's be honest. And this is a real thrill, folks. This is great.
Yeah. I mean, we have an enormous packed studio audience tonight. I mean, the word got out. It was leaked. I'm sorry to our guest. And it's just, you can hear him out there. They're squealing.
This was supposed to be an on the down low thing.
Yeah, it was supposed to. I mean, he said he'd come in. We met him at a bar a few weekends ago.
And, you know, it's like if his people found out, this would be a problem, you know, because this is not just any guest.
And also, if people found out that he hangs out at Akbar,
ooh la la.
I think that'd be.
I mean, what were we doing at Akbar?
Looking for our guests.
Yeah. I mean, the truth about the talking show is a deep and twisted path.
Yeah. Well, anyhow, here we have it. The one and only Louis C.K.
If you're older, you're smarter. A 55-year-old garbage man is a million times smarter than a 28-year-old with 3 PhDs. Especially smarter than him. Because this idiot has been thinking about 3 things for like 15 years. He's worthless. The garbage man is 55. He's had some experience. Things have happened to him. He went to Cape Cod one summer. He saw a dead guy floating in the motel pool. He took a bus to Montreal. He got a hand job at a fair from a miner. I mean a miner. Not a miner, a miner. You understand? A miner. A grown man who works in a mine with dirty hands jacked him off at a county fair. That's what I'm saying happened to the 55-year-old. You see, he's had some experience. He knows more. More has happened to him. He's seen more. He's seen history. He's witnessed history, even if it's not ancient history. He saw Nixon resign on live television. Me and those few people that clapped, we saw the president of America cry and then quit being the president. That shit was crazy. Because none of us knew what was gonna happen next. Today, people like, the president's kind of disappointing. Really, our president wept like an insane person and then got in a helicopter and flew away. And the whole nation just watched him go. I like getting older though, because for me, the kind of guy I am, getting older makes my life better. You know, like my sex life way better at 45. Because of the kind of, look, because this situation is okay at 45. This is not a fun kind of a 17-year-old to be. And some people, their life is better when they're younger. You know, young dudes, young skinny dudes, best life in the world is being a young skinny dude. They don't have to do anything. They just show up with a big Adam's apple and a smelly t-shirt. Hey, I'm here for the easy pussy for the rest of my life. So where do I, oh, everywhere? Okay, cool. But for guys like me, this is not a fun youth. It gets better. I'd like to make one of those It Gets Better ads for just dumpy young guys. We could use a little help, a little encouragement, just somebody on TV. Listen, man, I know it's tough right now. You're vaguely heavy with no face. You have zero value on the sexual marketplace. You feel invisible to the girls in school because you are. But it gets better because you all grow up and you pretty much look just like this your whole life. And they don't. Their options start running out really fast, and you're gonna be there. As long as you stay relatively employed and washed, you're gonna be amazing in your 40s. You're gonna be the branch that she can grab before she hits the ground. It's gonna be so great. It just takes time for her circumstances to match your looks, but it's gonna happen. It's gonna happen. When real shit matters, you're gonna be the sexiest motherfucker in the world. It's just time, that's all it takes. There's a formula to this. It's pussy plus time over income squared.
Hello everybody, how are you? Good, I'm doing well, I had a good day today. I went to the movies. And, you know, before the movie now, they show you that whole presentation where they explain that you shouldn't download movies on the internet. Because you're hurting all the people that work on the movies. They need to feed their families. So you shouldn't download movies on the internet. And I thought, holy shit, I had no idea. I just didn't know you could download movies on the internet. That is great news. I'm gonna download all of them. I went to the park today. I like going to the park because I can masturbate without my wife bothering me. So, I'm at the park and there's these no drinking signs. And it doesn't say no drinking. It has a picture of like a martini glass with a lion through it. Are those really the people causing the problems with the drinking in the parks? Shouldn't it be like a bottle in a bag with a lion through it? Are there guys out there at 3 in the morning? Aye! So, my wife and I got in a big fight today because she says I don't listen to her, and I don't. But it's not because I don't love her, blah, blah, blah. It's because she sucks at talking. I swear to God, she sucks at it. When she starts telling a story, it immediately turns into another, and like, she takes every story and divides it into 50 stories that each branch out into encyclopedias about other stories. And I try, because I love her. When she starts talking, I'm like, oh, I'm locked in. I'm going to listen to the whole thing. But somehow I just, I drift. I can't do it. Every story, she's like, oh, you know when my sister was in college? Not when she went to Antioch. You know how she transferred because of that, you know, because that guy that got weird. Not the little guy, the guy with the beard. You know, the thing, I think he was arranged. What are you talking about? Pick a thing. That's what I do. I go, here's the story when I tell it. I bought a tomato and I ate it and it was good. Anyone can follow that story. It was about a tomato the whole time. No, she's great. She is. I love her. I mean, without her, I'd be living under a bridge somewhere. God, that would be great. How great that would be. I would love that. We have a baby, and oh my God. When you have a baby, everything changes. And people tell you, they go, your whole life is going to change. And they were right. I think the biggest difference between my life now and before we had the baby is that now we have a baby. We have a baby. You know, that's a huge responsibility. You got to not leave them outside. You got a lot of stuff you got to take care of constantly. No, it's great, though. My father told me when I was a kid, he said, you're not going to know what it is to be a real man until you hold a tiny baby in your arms. And I didn't understand that then, but I do now, because I held my baby in my arms and I felt like a real man, you know, because I could crush that kid. It's hard raising a baby because, you know, they're crazy. They're out of their minds. It was Easter, okay, and we're painting eggs, and so she broke an egg. So, of course, she's going to cry about that like a bitch for like half an hour. So, and I go, it's okay, honey, it's just an egg, and I give her another one, and she threw it at me. And then she just starts throwing eggs, and we're trying to stop her. We have like this rule that we can't say anything negative to her, so we're trying to stop her from throwing eggs without saying any negative. Like, going, how about not throwing the eggs? That would be interesting. Finally, my wife goes, you know, we were having a nice Easter, but now we're not. And it's because of you. Yeah, that's really positive, honey. Why don't you just punch her in the face? Just punch her right in the face. You might get over that. The worst word a baby has when she learns it is the word why. I hate the word why. I really hate it. And it's not, look, like, I used to judge other parents, but I don't anymore. Like, you know when you're like at McDonald's and you see a parent, a mother or father with a kid, and the kid looks so cute and she's eating fries, and the mother or father's like, oh God, oh Jesus Christ. Oh, I hate this, I hate it, I hate it, I hate it, I hate it. And then a little kid says something like, Mama, why are those people standing there? And she goes, just shut up and eat your fries. And you go, what a horrible mother. Why doesn't she just answer her? How hard can it be to just answer her? You know what? You don't know what you're talking about. Because when a kid asks a question why, you tell her why, and she wants to know why that, too. And then you tell her why that. She wants to know why that. She takes every idea and deconstructs it to the point, I don't even know who I am anymore when we finish talking. The other day, she's like, Papa, why is there rain? Oh, because the water fell out of the sky. Why? Because it was in a cloud. Why? Because it came from the lake. Why? Because it got hot and it evaporated. Why? Because the earth is hotter when it's nearer to the sun. Why? I don't know. I don't know. Why? Because I didn't pay attention when it was taught to me in school. I didn't listen to anything anybody said to me. Why? Because I have no moral compass and I'm useless. I've never done the right thing. Why? Because my parents didn't raise me right. They didn't even try. Why? Because they just had sex in a car and here I am and they've just been waiting for me to get out of their lives. I'm only stopping to be polite. It goes on for hours, hours. It gets so abstract. She's like, why? Well, because some things are and some things are not. Why? Because things that are not can't be. Why? Because then nothing would be aren't. There wouldn't be any not things. Why? Eat your fucking fries. Shut the fuck up and eat your fries. Fucking little motherfucker. Jesus Christ. Nah, she talks, man. They talk and you have to say shit back. You can't just go, Papa, look at the bird. You can't just go. I always want to do that. Like, she says really weird shit sometimes. The other day she said to me, Indian beauty. I was like, what? Indian beauty. I was like, what does that mean? Indian beauty. Yeah, but what do you mean by that? She just looks at me and I go, yeah, don't talk unless you have a sentence to say, all right? Because that's a huge waste of my fucking time. Jesus Christ. Like the other day, she wants to say, excuse me. She says, accuse me. Like, that's not even close to meaning the same thing. All right? Accuse you of what? That you don't know how to fucking talk? Yeah. Yeah, you don't. Fucking shut it till it works. All right? Fucking kid is full of shit. Her favorite song is the alphabet song, right? That's what I call it, the alphabet song. You know what she calls it? The name of the song is A, B, C, D, E, F, G. She says, I want to sing A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P, Q, R, S, T, U, V, W, X, Y, and Z. I'm like, well, now let's not sing it, because you fucking ruined it for whoever's listening. That's not the title of the song, you fucking idiot. That's the fucking song. Jesus, motherfucking Christ. Anyway, so that's my kid. I know I'm going to hell, but so is every other parent, because you're all the same. It's fucking horrible. Hell is an interesting thought, though. What is hell really like? I always wonder, is there like a schedule in hell? Like they tell you first, okay, you go in that room and then some monster fucks you up the ass for 1,000 years. Then you come out and you're like, woo! Woo! Man, that was, Like, don't go in there again, to the next person, if I were you, I'd wait. And they go, all right, now you're scheduled to go in there. You go in there and they rip off your head. They always show, like, in these pictures, they rip off your head. But then they got to sew it back on so they can keep fucking with you. Like, they rip it off. And, all right, put them back together, because otherwise you can't torture them anymore. And then, but what if you're in hell and you're not sure what's next? Like, they go, just go wait over there for a minute. And you're waiting, like, in a hallway in hell, and some demon comes up to you. Come over here, you suck my dick. Now you're blowing this demon and you're in hell and it's awful. And he comes on your face, runs away laughing, whatever. But what if after you blow that demon, some guy in charge of hell walks you up and he goes, you know, you didn't have to blow that guy. He just hangs out here. He's not part of your damnation or anything. What did you blow him for? He said, suck my dick. So say no. What are you, pussy? Jesus, man. Stick up for yourself. Fucking loser. He blew Joey. Do you believe this guy? Sorry, I gotta go. I was walking past a yoga spinning fucking people place, and the door was open, and I look inside, and this guy's standing in front of a class, and he's just going like this, and he's going, come on, come on, come on, do it, come on, and everybody, all strangers that don't know each other, are going like this, and he's going, come on, come on, come on, all right, come on. And I thought, what fucking power this guy has? I wish I had that power over people. Even without the conceit of a class. Wouldn't it be great to be able to do that, like in an airport? A bunch of people waiting at a gate for a plane. It's like, come on! Come on! Come on, everybody do this! I'm like, oh, fuck, all right, Jesus. Why am I gonna have to do this? It's bullshit, I'm late, and I gotta fucking do this. Come on, you two, come on! I actually took a yoga class and it was great. It's amazing the shit they get you to do that you didn't know you could do. I was doing stuff I had no idea I was capable of, like sucking two penises at the same time. I didn't think I could do that. Mine and his. How did I would, it's actually that flexible, I could sword fight in my own mouth. All right. Good night. Thank you, everybody. Enjoy the show. Thanks, man. Thanks for coming, guys.
Strangers sometimes. Strangers weird me out. I saw this guy in the bus today. Have you ever seen somebody that you don't know again? You know what I'm talking about? Somebody's like, they're just a total stranger, but they keep like popping up once in a while. Like God is running out of extras in a movie of your life or something. Starting to reuse people. All right, you go be the guy on the bus. But now it's just the jogger. Just go. Put a hat on. I don't know. Yeah. I'd like to do some impressions now. I don't do a lot of impressions. I do very few of them, but I do them pretty well. So I just cut it down to the few that I know. So here's the first one. This is my impression of a superhero being propositioned by a hooker. Okay. A superhero being propositioned by a hooker. Hey, baby, wanna have a good time? No! Okay, now this is This is a guy who doesn't know how to match his face to what he's saying, okay? A guy who doesn't know how to match his face to what he's saying. You guys gotta get out, the place is burning down. Okay. Now this is John F. Kennedy. It's the only famous guy I do. But I can only do him as a prostitute in Saigon. It's the only way I can actually do him. John F. Kennedy is a prostitute in Saigon. Me so horny, I love you long time, Joe. I f***y sucky. So anyway, so my girlfriend moved in, and it's kind of cool, you know, in some ways. So I had to throw away a lot of pornography. A lot. Like, I sold some. I actually made about $40,000. It was a lot. But, it's interesting. When you live with your loved one, your voice changes over time. It really does. Like, after, you know, 1 month, it's pretty normal. You're like, hey, honey. You know, how's it going? Whatever you say, you know. Hey, how's it going, honey? That's how I talk. Hey, what's up, honey? How you doing? Hey, hey, I'll see you. I guess I'll see you later. All right. And then, you know, 3 months go by, and you go, hey, honey, you know where I'm at? You get that annoying, reedy thing. Honey, where did I put the thing? What do you mean? And then another six months go by, and you go, honey. And then, like, a year goes by, and you're like, but I'm glad I kind of have a normal life now. I used to be kind of up. I used to drink a lot, and drinking is bad for you, but the only good thing about it is you get an education, because people that are real drunks always come away with their little piece of wisdom, you know? Like, one thing I learned from being drunk is that if you ever go Christmas caroling, you should go with, like, a group of people. If you go alone and drunk, it's just not taken the same way for some reason. And you should also go, like, around December. That's the time of year you really want to... If you're out in July and you're outside your ex-girlfriend's house and you're naked with a heart on and a bottle of bourbon, you're going, jingle bells! Mother f***ing sail! Jingle! Most people don't consider that caroling. Most circuit court judges don't call that caroling. So this is an amazing city, you know? San Francisco is kind of incredible in a lot of ways, so... I'm not kissing your ass. Sorry. No, I really like it here, and there's a lot of really weird to... The sex stores are like, there's so many of them, and you gotta go in them. So, you know, I went in there and... I learned that, you know, there's no real perversion in sex anymore because everything has a category and everything has a market now. So there really isn't any freaks, you know? Like, maybe you think that you're a freak, but you're not. Forget it. Like, maybe you think you're the only person that likes to, like, dress like Hitler and have a nun throw Jell-O at your balls or something like that, okay? You think you're the only one... And then you find out that there's a whole magazine just for that. You're not a freak, you're just a sucker. You're a target, like everybody else, you know? And there's some things I wouldn't do, you know? Like, some things, like, I don't know, I don't care. Anything that seems like it's sex, I'll try it. But, like, I wouldn't try S&M. That's one thing I won't try, because that's a real commitment, you know? Because, like, I won't let a woman spank me. I won't even try it. Because what if I really like it, you know? Then I'm Then I'm, it's over. Because then you gotta buy all that you know? You gotta buy all that stuff. Seriously. You gotta go out, you know, a woman spanks me, the next day I gotta go out, I gotta buy the, you know, the leather hood with a zipper and mouth thing, and the ball in the mouth harness horse guy thing, and the leash with the studs, and the clamps on my balls, and the butt plug, and a thing with the, like, hanging from the nipples thing, you know, with the harness, and I've got to rig this. It's like skiing. You got to buy all that shit, you know? And the thing is that you gotta buy it. You have to. It's not like other purchases that are sort of like you decide if you want. You really gotta buy it. You know, it's not like, should I get the clamps on my balls? Or maybe I'll buy a shirt. I was thinking about it. No. It's like, I gotta have a clamp on my balls, you know. Oh, the $2,000. I don't put it on. I don't care. Just charge it, you know. I don't want to need a clamp on my balls. That's the point. So, I wouldn't try that. I guess there's a lot of things I wouldn't try. I wouldn't try the nun Jell-O on the balls thing I just said. I tried it. It wasn't that great. But, thank you. I owe you that at least. My God. Well, nice to be here. I was walking down the street today, and I saw this guy on a bicycle, and he was riding his bike, and he was about to go between a parked car and a cab. He only had like this much area. And I could also see the woman in the cab was about to open the door, and he was going to get nailed in the head, you know? And I wanted to yell something to warn him, but I couldn't think of anything short enough to yell that would have all the information that he needed. Because it was happening so fast. I couldn't go, hey, just get over the door of the cabin, you're gonna get hit on the bike and go flying and get hurt. I didn't have time for all that, you know, so I just yelled out, bad thing! I wasn't really specific enough. So then I saw this friend of mine, and he was waving to me, like from across the street. And I wanted to wave back, but I was eating a peach, you know? So I waved the peach at him. It's like waving a peach like this. I felt really weird, but I thought, you know, I know the guy. I'll wave a peach at him. I don't care. So I'm just waving it like, yeah, here you are. And then I realized it's not my friend, you know? Somebody that kind of looks like him. And he's waving at somebody over there, so they're all set. They got the waving, and I'm just waving his peach for nobody, you know? So I just kept, I just started going, look, I have a peach. Look what a fine peach I have. It is a peach, and I have it here, and you looking at it. Peach. Because I'd rather they thought I was crazy than stupid. I think that's always a good thing to do. If you do something and people think you're stupid, just go for crazy. You get more respect that way. Because nobody likes stupid people. This is how people talk to stupid people. What are you, stupid? Yeah, you're so stupid. You stupid. Get out of here, you stupid. That's how they talk to them. But crazy people, they go, hey man, how you doing? How are you? Nice. All right. I'd rather be treated that way. And it's an easy thing to turn stupid into crazy. It's an easy spin, you know, like say you're in a restaurant, you're looking for the bathroom or something, and you walk into the kitchen by mistake. Everyone is like, look at this guy, he's f***ing stupid. Look at him, did you see that? And then you just go, and they'll let you pee in there. You can f*** on the floor, you're the man. You know when you're in an elevator, and you ever do this, you get in an elevator, there's already people on, right? And you go to press your floor button, and it's already been pressed, it's all lit up. You know, and they all saw you starting to go for it, and then you don't want to press it. Then you get that thing where you make that noise where you don't actually make words. You know the thing you get on, you're like, oh, I didn't see that. I just say, I wasn't pressing the button, I'm pressing the air in front of the button, right here, yeah? I'm going to a floor that you know nothing about, man. I'm going to the floor. 1, 2, 3, 4. I moved in with my girlfriend. We live together now. And it's kind of cool, you know, living with her. I really, really like it. She works. She actually does stuff. And I just sit around all day. I don't do anything. And then she comes home. The other day she came home. She's like, what are you doing? I told you to mow the lawn. Why didn't you mow the lawn? And I said, oh, mow the lawn? I thought you said watch TV. Sounded like that. I'm done. I did that. I don't do anything all day. I used to have a day job. I used to work for this guy who paid me to walk around in his apartment wearing leather shorts. But it was kind of boring, so I moved on. I mostly just sit around. I sleep a lot. I don't take good care of myself. I don't exercise. I don't go to the beach or anything, you know, because I have red hair, so I don't really tan. I just kind of burst into flames, you know. But I don't take care of myself. One way I'm really lucky, though, I've always been one of those people where I can eat anything I want, and I just get really fat. I just get huge like a pig. It's so easy. I went to a movie the other night. I went to this movie and the theater was totally empty. I was the only person in the whole theater. It was really weird. So I sat down, and then this other guy walks in, and he sat right behind me. You know, what the f***? Really? And it wouldn't have bothered me, except for as soon as the movie started, he starts poking me like this, you know? Like right in the back of the head, really f***ing hard, just poking me over and over again like this, just not stopping, just bam. Bam! So I ignored him for like an hour.
Thanks, you guys. That's very nice. Thank you. How you doing? All right? Good. Good. This is good. You're out. Being out is good. It is. I don't go out anymore. I have a baby now, so I don't go out. Some of you have babies, but you don't love them, so you're here. That's cool. No, I mostly just go out with my daughter. I went to the park with her the other day. I was at this park in New York City Park, and they had these no drinking signs at the park. And but it doesn't say no drinking. It has a picture of like a martini glass with a line through it. Are those really the people causing the problems with the drinking in the parks? Are they reaching their target audience with a martini glass, really? Shouldn't it be like a bottle in a bag with a line through it? Do you see people at this park at 4 a.m, hey, motherfucker!
I try to go to movies, but movies are all shit now. They are, they're all shit. Like, they just have this machine that just makes shit. I try to see, I rented the Jesus movie where they beat the shit out of Jesus for a couple hours. Wow, they kicked his ass. What happened? What, did he key somebody's Camaro? What did the guy do? Look, I didn't like the Jesus movie. I thought it was a shitty movie. And it's, people get offended when you tell them that, like you're saying something wrong. It's like, I thought the Jesus movie sucked. And they're like, hey, man. Like, what? He's not in it. Who gives a shit? Like, Jesus cares about Mel Gibson's movie, you know? Look, I was raised Catholic, so I know he did that for me, and I appreciate it, you know, thank you. He should have asked first, you know, I would have said, I'm all set, I don't need that done, because, a little presumptuous, only because, look, here's the thing, I was raised Catholic, and I'm not anymore, because they, look, if they're right, I am fucked, I'm going to hell, I am, because I'm really a bad, I do wrong shit, a lot. Man, it's really, I'm going to hell, I know it. And I don't want to go to hell. And really because I don't like new places. That's really the reason. Because I'm afraid I'll go to hell. I won't know where to sign up for shit. I'll be all confused. Like the first day of school, you know? I wonder, is there like a schedule to hell? How organized is your damnation? Like, the first they put you in one room and some monster fucks you up the ass for 1,000 years. You come out, you're like, well, I ain't fucking around in there, I tell you. I don't recommend that room. That was a drag. Then they take you and they put you in another room and they shit on your head. I don't know what the fuck they're doing out there, but what if hell's not like that? What if I'm just standing in a hallway in hell like, what do I do? Where do I go? Some demon walks up to me, hey, and I'm like, ah, demon. And the demon's like, come on, suck my dick. Ah! Now I'm blowing a demon in hell, and it's horrible. And I'm thinking I shouldn't have lied so much or whatever. But here's my question. What if when I'm done blowing the demon in the hallway? Which, how do you know when you're done blowing a demon in the hallway? I guess when he comes fire ants on you, whatever. When I'm done blowing the demon in the hallway, what if some guy in charge of hell walks up to me and goes, hey man, you didn't have to blow that guy, you know? He just hangs out here. He's not part of your damnation or anything. What did you blow him for?
I just assume you're supposed to blow people.
He said, suck my dick, so I, you know. So say no. What's so hard about that? Jesus. Look, man, you better pace yourself. You're down here forever. You're gonna blow a lot of demons and elephants, all kinds of shit. Don't be freelancing in the hallways, for Christ's sakes. And also, you gotta die to go to hell, and I don't wanna die. I like my life. I'm very happy. I'm married, and I love my wife. I love her very much. My wife hates me. She fucking hates me. She hates me so much. Like, that's what she does. Like, if you asked her, what'd you do today? I fucking hate that guy. That's what I did today. I hate Louie. She's so mad at me all the time. Here's the latest thing. The other day, she got really mad. She said to me, you know what you did? You filled the dishwasher with dishes. You put the soap in, and you didn't turn it on. And I'm like, oh, shit. What are we gonna do now? You know. But here's the part where she blows my mind. This is amazing when she gets to this level. She says, well, why didn't you turn it on? Like, I have a reason for not turning it on. And I'm like, can't I just be stupid? Can't it just be that I'm a fucking idiot? That I filled the dishwasher and then I went, boo, and I walked away? I can live with that. I'm cool with that. But she says, no, why'd you do it? Which means I decided not to do it. Do you know how much more of an asshole that makes me? That means I filled the dishwasher and then I went, you know what? Fuck her. I ain't turning it on. She can suck my dick if she thinks I'm pressing that on button. I'll fill it, but I don't fucking press on. Not in my own house. Why would I do that? That would be crazy. The thing that she's usually mad about is simple. She says that I don't listen to her when she's talking. And I don't. But it's not because I don't love her, blah, blah, blah. It's because I try to listen. I really do. When she talks, I just stare at her face. I'm like, come on, bring the story. But somehow I'm like, what the f-? I can't do it. I try. Because every story gets divided into 50 stories that all branch out into these crazy, and I'm like, holy shit. I've got ADD. I can't do it. I'm like, fucking please. But I try every time I try because I love this retarded woman. So I try really hard to listen to her stories. Other people don't even try. We go to parties. She starts talking. People just walk away like, fuck this. That lady's crazy. Who would waste time listening to that crap? Me. She can't help it. I really feel bad for her because the thing is that every word of the story gets her so excited that she wants to fucking run with it, and she can't fucking just break through and get to the end or even the beginning. This is my wife telling a story. She's like, guess what happened to my mom today? You remember I told you my mom how she, when she was in college, not when she went to Michigan, when she transferred. Remember because that guy got weird and she had to leave because he was, not the Iranian guy, that was a different story. That guy, I think he was Persian. I heard that Persia actually split. What the fuck are you talking about? Jesus Christ! Pick a thing! Have some consideration for the fucking listener. I don't do that. Here's me telling a story. I bought a tomato and I ate it and it was good. That's a story anyone can follow. It's about a tomato the whole time. I like being married, though. I do. I really like it. I seriously do. We were having sex, my wife and I, a couple of weeks ago, which is amazing that we did that because we never have sex. Never. Because we have a baby, and our baby's a fucking asshole and won't let us have sex. No, fuck, that kid's a jerk, man. Seriously. Every time she's got some urgent shit in her room. Papa, come in here! I need a minute now! Okay, I go in there. What's up? I need a pair of pants to put on my pony. Wow, holy shit. I'm trying to fuck your mom in there. Would you give me a break? Can a guy fuck your mom for a minute? There is no sex, man. I had no idea that marriage just means no sex. No, none, fucking none. I have friends that are thinking of getting married, and they say funny shit like, hey, you know, I don't know if I could do it, because I don't know if I could have sex with one woman for the rest of my life. I'm like, don't worry about that shit. You're going to have sex with zero women for the rest of your life. That's a lot less than one. One woman. Who the fuck do you think you are? Where'd you get that fantasy? I'd love to have sex with one woman for the rest of my life. Any one woman. Big, fat, dead lady with a beard. I'd fuck her every day. I'd be proud to have her. That's not usually my problem. These days, my problem is very simple. It's trying to find a place in my house where I can masturbate without somebody bothering me. And that's getting really difficult. There's nowhere to go anymore. She's got her mother staying with us, too, in the guest room, and I'm on the streets now. I got nowhere to go. Like, now I know when I see a guy in the West Side Highway jerking off in plain daylight, that's not a homeless guy. That's a married man right there. He's got nowhere to go. Fuck it. Fuck you. Go ahead and look, man. I got nothing. What else am I going to do? It's not fair, man. I'm 37 and I own my home. I should be able to just stand in the living room. How you doing, honey? How the, good morning. But I can't. I got to hide. I'm down in the cellar by the boiler like a troll down there. just fucking miserable. Ugh, shit. That's what it's like. Masturbation doesn't bring much joy to guys. Women seem to like masturbating. They put flower petals on the pillow. They're like, ah, me, or whatever, you know.
The guys are like, ah, shit, never fucking have. God damn it.
Sometimes you find ecstasy, but it's followed by the deepest self-hate and depression you've ever felt. It's an amazing drop from way up here to this, like, oh, yeah, oh, what the fuck is wrong with me? God damn it. I gotta get to work. I don't have time for this shit right now. But then you get married, now you gotta hide. And you have to. You have to hide. Because when your wife catches you masturbating, that's sad for the whole family. That's not a good moment in a marriage. She comes in the cellar. Oh my God. And then she always wants to know shit about it. She always asks me stuff. My wife's like, well, do you think about me when you're doing that? What are you, fucking high? Why would I do that? What? I can think about anybody. That's magical. Why the fuck would I? I'm married to you. What do women really think? Their husbands are going, oh, my wife. Oh, yeah, that's fucking hot. Oh, yeah. Picking her up at the airport and getting yelled at. Oh, that's fucking hot. Yeah. Put it in the hamper, not on top, you idiot. Oh, I love when she talks like that. Yeah. But, you know, whatever. We're a family. We have a kid. That changes everything. You know, that's the whole thing. The kid is everything. Marriage is nothing. Without a kid, marriage is dating. It doesn't mean shit. And you don't realize it until you have a kid. Here's what happens. When you get married, you go, holy shit, I can't leave now. I mean, I wasn't thinking of leaving, but now I really can't leave. Then you have a kid and you go, holy shit, I could have left. I totally could have left. Fucking door was right there. Now I can't go. I got a kid now. I love my daughter. It's a lot of responsibility that you never think about, though. Like, you got to name your kid. That's a big deal right there. And you know what's amazing to me? You can name your kid anything you want. Isn't that incredible? There are no laws. There should be a couple of laws. None. You can literally name your kid anything. You can name your kid a name with no vowels if you want. Like, Pinsendleton! Just 40 Fs, that's his name. Go clean your room. Some people name their kids a word like sunshine or battery or whatever. I like to name my kid a whole phrase, you know, something like ladies and gentlemen. That would be a cool name for a kid. This is my son, ladies and gentlemen. Then when he gets out of hand, I get to go, ladies and gentlemen, please. But you got to be careful what you name your kid. You do have to be careful because what happens is other kids in school are going to make fun of them. They're going to make fun of their name. And you don't have to give them a weird name because they can do it with any name. Kids are geniuses at that. Any name. They take it. They go Louie Screwy, Joey Blowy, Mike, your mother's a dyke, whatever. They find a way, these kids. Any name. What's your name? Eric, you fucking asshole. See, just like that. Lightning speed these kids got. What's your name? Joe, eat a bag of shit, cunt face. You see, just like that. He got that all through school and cried like a pussy. It's not gonna happen to my little girl.
Wow. Ladies and gentlemen, please. Please.
Please.
Well, I can see why they showed up in throngs for Louis. He's
no kidding.
He's funny.
I mean, he is our, you know, for whatever anyone thinks of or has to say about it, he is our moments stand-up comedian.
For sure.
You know, what the tandem thrust of Steve Martin for white people and Richard Pryor for black people was to the late 70s. Louis C.K. is for white people now, and Hannibal Buress is for black people?
I don't know. I'm not so familiar with the popular comedy scene.
I mean, Hannibal Buress had a show for a little while, and Louis C.K.'s had a show for a long time.
That's true. What is, who is the guy in the 90s? Jerry Seinfeld?
Part of the 90s, for sure. He was definitely the Caucasian for the 90s.
Yeah, okay.
And, 80s was definitely Eddie Murphy for black people.
Of course. Huh. You know, it's a lot of the same tropes. A lot of the same style.
I mean, Seinfeld and Louis C.K., you think? Or between whom and whom? Because I don't see a lot of Eddie Murphy in this act.
Well, Louis takes a little bit... he takes more of the Larry David approach from that time. And he's... but he's a... You know, I feel like one of the major differences is where Larry David kind of shrugs at the moral dilemma. Like... You know, like, nothing's going to happen to me. Louis is slightly more conflicted, maybe. He's a little more self-aware, but only barely.
Right. I mean, Larry David's not a stand-up comedian.
I think he was. Yeah, that's how he met Seinfeld and those people.
I feel like he's been more of an insider.
Right.
He, like, produced Seinfeld, right?
And he wrote it with Jerry. But I think that they met on the stand-up scene in New York.
Okay, I didn't know. Yeah.
I saw some footage of a Larry David stand-up from that time, and the only joke I remember was pretty good. He was like, you know, my biggest fear would have been to have been like a Spanish conquistador or something, because, you know, when talking to my servants, I wouldn't know whether to use the two or a stead form. I'd feel really uncomfortable because, you know, they're coming to the house all the time. You want to use two, but I think there's a dynamic that requires a new stead, and it just, that's my biggest fear.
It's pretty good. It's a pretty good.
It also kind of sounds like a Louis C.K. joke.
Yeah, except that, like, in a weird way, like, the situation is a Louis C.K. joke wouldn't imply you understood a second language.
Yeah, that's true.
Like,
he has more of a kind of a,
you
for,
have to understand
for the common folk.
That's the most complex topic you have to, and like,
and the kids are littler than us,
and parenting, like, yeah. The general
and some, like,
thing
some
about
some
parenting.
some signage. You need to know a little bit about signage.
Yeah,
but
yeah, you know, it's interesting. Like, living in Los Angeles and not necessarily coming from Los Angeles, I think this is like a fantastic opportunity for us here to see comedy.
Yeah, it's everywhere.
It's everywhere, and you can see some very well-known comics just like that. You know, they're just hanging out on the street corner, practically.
Yeah, because something I noticed even from that show, Louis, at least the way he portrays his life, is that even when you're kind of a big-deal comic, you're still just kind of like walking around. You don't make a ton of money. You're just, unless you break into TV, and then you're just, you know, you're like, he does his comedy night at the comedy club.
It's no big deal. I mean, like, I think in a way that's why comedy has been so relatable to people in visual art.
Yeah.
Is it's like, you know, all right. Like, I come from a smaller town, and people say, like, you know, what are you trying to do? Are you trying to make it in LA? And I'm like, no, this is the thing. It's like a lot of fully successful artists that I would view as very successful, you know, who have fine lives, nicer cars, you know, all that stuff. No one has ever heard of them.
Yeah. That to me is probably the best image of success.
Yeah. That's all I'm after. And is doing a little not too radically better from how better, but not so much better than how I'm doing. That would be fine. And that just doesn't exist because people have this image of, like, you know, Jeff Koons or something like that.
Yeah, your Jeff Koons are bust.
And that's what people who don't know that much about sort of the business end of these things is like. But I have a feeling that most comedians even those who have, like, maybe let's say short-lived television shows, are, like, operating essentially on the level of, like, most mid-career artists.
Right. Now, I was thinking about this the other day. There's, you know, the way, even the way in which art education works, you're basically taught to be Jeff Koons or bust. Like, there's no point where they're like, all right, maybe one of you maybe is going to be that big, but, like, most of you are, like, going to struggle and, like, maybe get a teaching job. Who wants to, who, does anyone, can we, like, fast track anyone in that direction? You know,
yeah,
like,
right.
Who wants, like, the associate professor job at, like, the middle tier public school? Because we can just hook that up if you don't want to aim for the Koons. Like, they don't, there's no, it's just people are all aiming for this extremely high level, and then things kind of, it's like a Plinko game or something.
It's funny, though, I mean, because, like, certain art practices don't imply that you're ever aiming for the Koons, you know? I mean,
right.
Like, it's like, I feel like I have never had the option of aiming for the Koons.
That's true, yeah.
Like, that's just not how the kind of work I make goes.
Right.
I could have a very nice career. I could, it's unimaginable to me being a Jeff Koons.
Right, but I'm just saying that there's, you know, the image of success I'm most interested in now is not one that was ever presented in,
right.
in my formation.
Right, it's like not Jeff Koons, not...
Just like decent life.
Yeah,
chill. Good friends, making art.
NBD, maybe a place
maybe,
with the yard.
Maybe go to Europe once a year.
Nice place with the yard.
Yeah.
Yeah. Travel around a bit.
Well, I think that about wraps it up.
Yeah,
we summed it up.
I think comedy is hard. I think that's the thing. I would really like to have Maria Bamford on the show sometime soon.
Oh, we'll have to get in touch with her.
Yeah, well, I'll give her a call.
Okay.
Awesome. On the comedy topic. And Hannibal Buress, for that matter. I mean, like, I went to a taping of his television show, and it was pathetic. It was very sad. Although, I think he realized that. Like, he was aware all the bits for the show that were, like, written as part of, you know, he was teleprompted into were abysmal. All his ad-libbing, when they would be doing a redo on something, was incredible. He did a bunch of ad-libbing with Eric Andre. It was hilarious. It was outrageous. But it was also, like, not going to get used for television. So this is an interesting fantasy comedy, because it's also where, like, even people who you feel are, like, very skilled, who, you know, like, Hannibal Buress broke the Bill Cosby rape story.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Like, he's not nobody. He's, like, kind of a significant person in American cultural landscape. And even then, he is still treated like garbage by the television establishment.
Yeah.
It's interesting. It's like, this is a very weird town. He's from Chicago.
Definitely.
It's a second city. It's a great place for comedy.
Sure. Good night.
Namaste. Good morning.